time to kick off the first quarter. Happy Friday.
And welcome to Four Quarter Friday here on the Chief Sports Network. I am Matt Smith, coming to you from coastal South Carolina. That is Steve Hall, broadcasting from the Midlands. We will soon be joined by JL Man Athletic Director Brian Mahan, Post and Courier sports writer David Shelton from the outskirts of the Holy City, as we have designs on covering every corner of the Palmetto State's high school sports scene. Steve, we have reclassification, I think, settled by the South Carolina High School League. I think. We have big games on the slate for boys and girls basketball. More drama and hand-wringing likely coming over where all of these reclassified teams land in region realignment, something that caught my attention. And lest we forget, some big-name programs in football still searching for their next coach. Steve, when you asked me to join this show, I thought we were easing in. January's more – it's busier in high school sports than October. I'd forgotten about that. What's grabbed your attention this morning?
Well, the reclassification stuff is always interesting. I do look forward to that being settled so that we can then start getting a lay of the land for the next 3 years, 26, 27, 28. I will go ahead and pop this on the screen, just some of the things that have kind of resulted from the appeals process. It looks like, as you can see, most of them were getting denied, but as you can see, Indian Land won their appeal from being placed in 5A to go down to 4A. Wade Hampton was able to win their appeal from 5A to 4A. Green Upstate, 3A to 2A. And then Marlborough County won their appeal from 3A to 2A. That was an interesting one. We can talk about that here in a second. Palmetto Scholars from 2A to 4A. And then the appellate panel had to meet as well, we had Brooklyn Casey win theirs, 4A to 3A. Greenville Technical Charter, 4A to 2A. Bridges Prep, 3A to 2A. And then Lucy Beckham from 5A to 4A, which that was interesting as well. But going back to the Marlborough County one, that was pretty interesting because in their appeals process, Smitty, one of their biggest arguments was, you know, the financial difficulties that their district is having. And they haven't hit bankruptcy, but they're not exactly out of the woods from it, so to speak. I believe when I was browsing X this week, I was seeing Lou Bajak kind of give the play-by-play of those processes and those appeals, and they had something like 5 point something million cash reserves. They're required to have at least like 2.6. I can't remember exactly the number, but they're looking at having to really pay attention to their spending right now so they don't get close to that, you know, bottom line number that they are required to have by state law. And so their appeal was very much from a travel standpoint based on where they would have been and having it been too costly to their athletic program to be able to go up that classification from what my understanding is.
Well, that's serious business. Now, much of it was like reality television, if you were following Lou Bajak on Twitter. And I find it fascinating. I've requested to the IRS that they move me from the 3A to the 1A tax bracket. And I've got some travel hardships that I'm going to bring up.
Groceries are a big part of that, right?
That's right. Groceries are a big part of
it. Takes a lot to feed a team now.
A presentation, yes. Steve, I'm excited about today's show. This is only my second time with you, and we welcome everyone. You see how hard that we try to work to bring you that information, and we want you to be a part of this as well, because Steve and I won't get to everything in 90 minutes on a Friday morning. So tell us what we're missing. Reach out to us on X at Four Quarter Friday. You can also email the show at fourquarterfriday@gmail.com, because Steve, we want to hear from everyone, because there's things we're going to ask David Shelton today, or Brian Mahan, athletic director of JL Man. We'll miss some, and we want to make sure that we're hitting on everything and we start to capture all that's great about this state, because there is so much, but there's so many teams, so many stories. But anyway, if you want to reach out to us, Twitter is a great way during the show, at Four Quarter Friday. That's the number four, just like our graphic. If there's a coach, athletic director, writer, broadcaster you want to see on the show, just do so. Hit us up on X or email us at fourquarterfriday.com. Please do so in kindness. I can take the insults. That's not a problem, but let's keep it positive. Trying to carve out a space that celebrates the achievements of student athletes and all the coaches too. Coaches probably don't get enough love in our state. So tell us about them. We'll platform them here on the Chief Sports Network. But the best way to keep up with us on all the shows on the Chief Sports Network, download the Chief Sports app. You can find us on YouTube at Chief Sports South Carolina as well. So it's just, we want to be interactive with you, and we want to make sure we hit on all of these stories. Steve, it's hard to wrap our heads around. I mean, just what you put on the screen is probably 90 minutes worth of discussion. So there's a lot we want to get to, and we want to make sure people know that we are efforting to get to every corner.
And just to kind of put kind of the framework around how monumental a task this is, Smitty, I mean, we're covering triple the amount of athletic events, at least, because you got basketball, boys and girls, playing twice a week normally, and then wrestling. And so we have a monumental task ahead of us, so we will not be able to go over every single contest like we did in the fall with football. I think we got a great show planned today. We got to get to our interview with Brian. Yes. Mahan, the athletic director from JL Man High School, and looking forward to that after this quick break.
This is Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Justin Hall and Steve Hall, taking a deep dive into high school athletics in South Carolina every Friday morning. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith here with you. We also have Steve Hall, and joining us in this segment, we are...
Appreciate you jumping on.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith here with you. We also have Steve Hall, and joining us in this segment, we are honored to have JL Man Athletic Director Brian Mahan. This on the heels of South Carolina High School League ruling on realignment, basketball season in full swing, spring sports like baseball and softball starting to practice. Coach, I don't know what being an AD pays anymore, but you sure are busy.
Yeah, we're pretty busy. It's definitely our busiest time of the year with basketball and basketball wrestling going on, and now all of our spring sports in the open season getting ready to kick off official practice in about 15, 16 days. Or actually, it's less than that now, about 10 or 12 days. And it's getting ready to get real again.
Coach, thanks for joining us, man. Me and you have gone, we've known each other for a long time now, maybe back down as far back as 2009, 2010, yeah, when you were in Georgetown. And just a pleasure to have you on. And I told you back in the summertime we were gonna have to get together, because you also have a cool thing that you do to try to serve your community, your kids and parents inside of the JL Man area and just all over. And you were telling me a little bit about that. Can you tell us a little bit about what that project is for you and kind of what your goals are for it?
Sure. And I appreciate you guys having me on. It's a pleasure to be here. What Steve's referencing is what I call the Coach Approach HQ. And first, it kind of started out when I retired off the field as a football coach, it was kind of like, I kind of want to stay connected. So I'll start something to kind of give to younger coaches, like what was given to me as I was coming up. And then this job got in the way, and then began to find a balance between, you know, life outside of here and of course home life, and brought it back at the encouragement of my assistant AD Lamont Wakefield. And I said, I'm going to go one step further, because a lot of our parents and a lot of our kids don't understand the total recruiting process. And so we started concentrating on, a Sunday challenge for coaches, do something this week to help better your program, help better yourself. A coach tip Tuesday, a motivational Monday for players, something that, as coaches, what do we look for? What are college coaches going to look for in you? And then we began focusing, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays and Saturdays on recruitment process stuff. For example, right now we're in the middle of three series, one about the NCAA and some of the eligibility aspects there, one about coachability, what do coaches look for in you being coachable, and the walk-on process, which a lot of parents have always had a lot of questions about, how do I walk on? How do we get our kids to walk on? What's going to happen? So we're taking, through about seven steps and seven videos with each of those.
That's incredible, Coach. I mean, I can tell you from remembering, and this is a long time ago when I was a high school athlete, it was like a foreign language when coaches came and spoke to you. College coaches are going to speak to high school kids, assuming they know certain things. But if you didn't have an older brother or an uncle or a parent that played college athletics, you're 15, 16 years old, and you don't know what they're talking about.
That's right. And, in my generation, we were part of that where the NCAA began, you got to have a certain GPA, you got to have a certain test score at that part in the late 80s and early 90s, to where now we've gone full circle from, you don't have a test score now, but you definitely have to have a 2.3 GPA in core classes. And when you say core classes, people are like, well, what are you talking about? And, they don't realize you got to have four Englishes, three maths, three sciences, two foreign, stuff like that. And then on top of that, have the grades and the requirements to get into the institution that's being that you're being recruited by. So it's twofold for all athletes that are getting recruited as a student athlete.
Now, Coach, we'll circle back to that. I want to ask a quick question in case I've got to sign off here. I really want to get your thoughts on the realignment process, because I feel like J.O. Mann is one of those schools that's caught in between a little bit, Greenville County, Anderson County, Spartanburg County. Tell me, from your perspective as an athletic director, how important, say, travel was in a factor, because you've got girls across, you've got girls flag football now, you've got a tennis team that you're going to have to get to all these region games. Some regions are spread out. So what's your perspective, and do you let your voice be heard in terms of, anything, travel or trying to retain rivalries culturally? What's important to you?
Well, I think the important thing is to realize that each classification, before the entire process starts, and it usually starts months in advance, and the league will survey all of us, asking us what's important to us, regions, how many teams we want in our region, how many schools we believe need to be in each classification or our classification. We need to, what do you want as far as region rivals? Do we want all county schools to remain in the same region, or do you mind being separated? So the high school league asked us all that question, and, the realignment committee works real hard at trying to, look at all those things and take in consideration things like travel and, rivalries, things like that. For us, obviously, we definitely don't want to lose that rival game with Greenville in all of our sports that we play. That's just so much of a natural rival. But talking to other ADs, we all kind of want the same thing. We want to limit our travel, at least in the region, as best as we can. It'd be great if we had every region team and every region game under a 45 minute to an hour trip, but sometimes that's just not going to be possible. You know, you look at Greenwood, you look at T.L. Hanna, who's in our region now. You know, Greenwood's a good hour, 15-minute drive, although it's not really that bad of a drive. You know, there's other places I have been, we've had worse drives. You know, Hanna's just 25, 30 minutes down the road. Of course, you got to take in consideration I-85 traffic with that one. But you know, we're kind of in a very fortunate position right now where we're at, as far as that goes with travel. But then again, you know, you also want your teams to go out and play quality competition. And you mentioned lacrosse teams, and you know, we always want to go down to Columbia and go up to the Rock Hill area, the Charlotte area, and play quality lacrosse programs there, as well as playing, you know, all of our rivals around here. So, you know, you have to take that in consideration too.
Coach, I mean, you kind of hit on this a little bit, but are y'all looking at trying to keep those traditional, you know, matchups with T.L. Hanna in Greenville kind of on the schedule as some of these movements are making in the classification, non-region schedule-wise?
Well, we didn't have any conversations with Hanna, you know, because we weren't thinking that Hanna was going to drop down to 4A. So, you know, we try to work on our football schedules November, December for that two-year process. And so we were thinking we're all going to be in the same region together. And you know, that could change with some of the things that are going on to where we may lose a team that we've already agreed to, you know, by handshake to play as a non-region schedule. But definitely Greenville's on there. I can tell you that game's probably going to be on my birthday, September 18th. It'll be here at JL Mann. You know, that's one where we went through, you know, hey, if you're in the region, we'll play whenever the region schedule says. If we're out of region, you know, we kind of locked in on two dates and came up with the September 18th game.
Now, I got another question for you. Let's shift gears a little bit just to the new day and age of high school athletics, and we're starting to talk a little bit about it, but we want to talk about it from a more high level instead of a granular approach when we're talking about the high school transfer portal. This is the first year of that, and, you know, I'm starting to see graphics and all that stuff that are popping out, but what is it like as an athletic director dealing with this transfer portal and this, you know, this climate?
Well, you know, it is what it is to a certain extent. Kids and their families are going to make decisions to do what's best for them. And if that's what they want to do, then, you know, I'm happy for them. Go do what you think's best for you and your child in the situation that you want to be in. At the same time, I think what we've done as a league, at the behest of the South Carolina legislature, we came up with what we thought was the best possible solution to kind of curb it a little bit. We didn't see many transfers in or out of JL Mann, other than the typical 10 to 12 that we get at the beginning of the fall. You know, we're just now starting to look at who we have out for, you know, lacrosse and soccer and all that. We'll figure out who the transfers are then that maybe came in the fall. But I think with what we did as far as, you know, you got to transfer before the first day of official practice. If you don't, then, you know, you can come in after that first official day, then, you know, you're going to be penalized for that late transfer. And then if you transfer twice, there's that penalty of sitting out half the, you know, at least 30% of your games or so many days, whichever is less. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we did that, and then you add the senior transfer rules to it. And I think there's no perfect solution, but at the time, right, this is probably the best solution we could have had.
Well, I think there is a little bit of confusion out there, I guess, with the general population. And you kind of see some of that lack of clarity happening when some decisions are made. You know, and we don't on the Four Quarter Friday talk about individual kids and decisions, right, and all that. That's not something we do. But could you help clarify, just for the general public, for our viewers, for us, What does it look like for, like, for example, a player that decides to transfer mid-year in his junior year? Let's just say for a fall sport. Does that impact their senior season at all?
It could. As we found out through a process, we had a situation come up in the fall, as a matter of fact. And the league has decided that if they transferred before the actual end of the season, they would be considered a junior transfer. If they had transferred after the end of that fall sports season, they would have been considered a senior transfer, thus subject to the senior penalties that get put into place during the 26-27 school year.
Okay.
So, you know, there's situations for every transfer, and it's really too deep to go into. But, you know, I think the high school league has done a very good job of trying to take in consideration some of those sort of common sense things that happen, like a family having lost a job in Myrtle Beach and now they got a job up here in the Spartanburg area or the Greenville area and they had to move. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, the kid shouldn't be penalized because his family moved. So, you know, they look at the common sense stuff.
Yeah, and that's kind of the old way of doing things too. Like, mm-hmm. for a legitimate transfer, there had to be established right. Change of address, and that stuff is still operating as usual, right?
Right. And, you know, what most people don't realize here in Greenville County, sorry about that, is you can transfer schools, but play, you know, you have to live in that school's attendance area, or you have to be at that school on special permission or a magnet. And, you know, if anybody paid attention to what Eastside appealed for about, you know, their building having a lot of open spaces because they were landlocked and, you know, not having a full building with students in their attendance zone. You know, the district will allow students that want to go to Eastside, you know, for whatever reason, be it academics or not, they'll allow them to go to that school on special permission. If not, in Greenville County, you know, everybody's got to be in that attendance zone to go to school. So essentially our rules never really changed, even though the high school league changed that to where, you know, you can go anywhere you want to for, mm-hmm. you know, school choice purposes.
Right. Well, before we shift gears into, let's just get caught up on JL Mann Athletics, because I know that's where the most of your hours mentally and physically are located. But got a quick question for you as far as kind of what you do on your own special podcast. And then as an athletic director, how has recruiting for college shifted with the transfer portal that is now in college? You're seeing less and less scholarships available to, for instance, a South Carolina or a Clemson because they're taking so many of those transfers from that end.
Right.
What is being done? What are y'all doing as coaches at your school as far as guiding a player who in the past might have had that ability to maybe fringe ability to be in that level? Or Division One level, are they having to drop down to say D2 and take a spot there and then get into a higher level? Is that playing out at all?
You know, a lot of our guys that went D2 the past 2 years, especially in football, are still with their schools. As far as I know right now, I haven't heard if they entered the transfer portal or not. I don't think any of them did. We just got a visit from one of our players that went to Buffalo, and he's told us he's staying, but he's not going. He loves it there, even though it's frigidly cold. But he's not going anywhere. So, you know, the first thing is everybody believes that all these D1 schools have, you know, like Clemson, South Carolina, have stopped going to visit high schools in South Carolina. That's not the case. They're still coming to visit us. They still want that relationship with us. That's a great thing to have. If there is an outstanding 5-star athlete, they're going to recruit them. Even an outstanding 4-star athlete or a 3-star, they're going to recruit them. And, you know, the chips are going to fall where they fall. We're lucky to have two college coaches, you know, and Coach Sweeney and
Coach Beamer.
Coach Beamer, thank you. Gosh, no, I saw his face, couldn't think of his name. That happens to me a lot, you know, when you get over 55, it happens. that believe in recruiting high school athletes still. And that's a great, especially in their home state. So I don't think that's going to change. But, yeah, the spots are becoming less and less, unfortunately. But that also opens up more opportunities at D2, D3, NAIA, or, you know, even what we don't have in this state, JUCO colleges, you know. So that opens up possibilities other places. And then, of course, they got that option to go up.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, let's shift gears real quick. Let's go to All About JL Mann. Catch us up. What's going on? Give us like an just some things everybody should know about if they're not a parent of a JL Mann high school athlete. Let's educate the whole state of what's going on. We are in winter sports. Basketball is happening. Wrestling is happening. And then if you wanted to highlight any coaches or specific players that are doing special things either in the classroom, off the field in the community, or on the field of competition, I'd love to just kind of hear your passion, because I know, you know, coaches and teachers aren't doing it for the paycheck necessarily. They do it because they believe in it.
Well, you know, it's funny you asked about the student athlete portion of it, because we just got the link to nominate our student athletes for the South Carolina High School League. We'll probably have in the neighborhood of about 40 or 50 kids in that, I'm hoping. Last year, I think we had like 65. It'd be great to go above that number this year. I haven't started delving into it, but we got a lot of great student athletes. You know, last year, our salutatorian was a cross country runner. And, you know, that was great to see. We have a lot of athletes that are in the top 10% of their class. A lot of them are in the top 10 and top 20. This is a great school to teach at. It's a great school to work at. I am surrounded by great people, especially my assistant athletic directors, who take a lot off of me. I got a great principal in Dr. Shannon Gibson, great, administrator that's over athletics directly with Carl Washington. So it's sort of the perfect fit right now. It's a lot of things are going well for us. As you may know, we won 3 state championships in the fall season with our girls and boys swimming and boys cross country. Our girls tennis team played down to the very last point against Spartanburg in the 3rd round. And literally it came down to the last game, the last point. And it could have gone either way. And that was a very good Spartanburg team that, beat us that night. Our girls golf team qualified for the first time in about 5 years as a team to the state. So we had a real good fall season. Unfortunately, football didn't go as well as we wanted, but when you have 15 to 20 injuries and you lose 32 seniors and 19 of those were starters, you're going to have a rough season. I don't care who you are. It's going to be rough. We'll look to bounce back next year. It's not the end of the world. Basketball, our girls and our boys teams both kind of went through a little rough patch. You can tell they're starting to turn around again. The boys, they're competing hard. The girls they played in 2 really good tournaments in Greenville, Tennessee and Atlanta, Georgia over Christmas break against an outstanding team. The first team they played in the Greenville, Tennessee tournament had 3 D1 players on it. They played them tough and only lost, I think, by 12 points that night. So, our records right now in basketball don't reflect what I'm seeing as far as, how they're competing and whatnot. We're in the region schedule now. We're not exactly where we want to be yet, but the boys are sitting at 2-3, I think, and the girls are sitting at 3-1 or 4-1. If I'm not mistaken, they're 3-2. I can't remember. We still got a long way to go to get to those playoffs. Wrestling, we're kind of like in football. We're kind of recovering from losing 6 seniors. And when you lose 6 seniors in wrestling, that's kind of a big deal. Yeah. Brand new coach as well, who got hired late. But they're competing. They're doing, their best. They're not, not where they want to be yet, but that program will eventually be where it should be.
As much as I love football, it's my number one. I love it. wrestling, though, I've always said since I was in high school and had friends on the wrestling team at Lexington High, I think it's the hardest sport there is because it's just you versus the other guy on the mat. And what they got to endure for those short periods, man, it's like you got to be in shape. And now you can't even cut weight like you used to be able to and, like, wrestle down. I had a friend. His name was Mark Lee. And I tell you, he was about 185 in the off season, and I think he was wrestling at 152 in season. So he looked like a shell of himself. So it's a good thing that we passed those rules.
Yeah.
Because that was not healthy for us back then.
Yeah. But you got all those tests now that you got to go through the preseason and stay right around that area.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to, through my research, just give you a chance to kind of brag about some more of your people, because I know your role is to support coaches who are supporting these kids.
Right.
So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that and your philosophy. But boys soccer last year, they finished 25-0, won a state championship. And based on my research, they were ranked number one in the nation.
Yeah.
Won
the Max Press Mythical National Championship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like the good old days of before we had the BCS, right?
Yeah.
The sports writers naming the champion, right?
You know, and, that's not only a great honor to our program, but that's also a great honor to South Carolina soccer, because Max Preps is saying, hey, you got some good soccer teams in South Carolina, which there are. There are some great soccer teams here. And, you know, just across the way, Riverside, you know, won a state championship. And, they are – excellent. And, you know, we got them on the schedule for soccer. So, you know, it's not only a tribute to us, but it's a tribute to South Carolina soccer as a whole.
How has that experience from the boys soccer program last season shifted expectations or just in general, how has it impacted the school and the athletic program itself coming off of that season?
Well, it's a great source of pride. You know, both the boys and the girls won the state championship. Boys, you know, did it pretty flawlessly. The girls really had the battle. They had a lot of key injuries there at the end of the season. Lost their goalie during the last game of the season to a torn ACL, and just had the battle and just showed great resiliency. So it's a great source of pride for this school. Soccer has always been a great tradition here at JL Mann. A lot of Gatorade players of the year. Smith Darby is returning Gatorade player of the year in South Carolina. So, you know, there's high expectations. There's no doubt for the boys and the girls teams.
So you kind of hit on that a little bit. Are both girls and boys, are they returning a good bit for this next season?
For the last 2 years, the girls have lost their two best players mid-year because they've chosen to be early enrollees at Clemson and then at South Carolina. But they just reload. There's such good talent in this area for soccer, and we're fortunate to have some of that good talent here.
Yeah.
You know, the boys lost two or three key players, but they'll just fill them right in with two or three key players right back. It's good to have that problem.
All right, next person we're going to highlight, I think you know who I'm going to say, is Coach Evan Jones.
Yes.
He was just named the 2025 South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, who is one of our partners, and we're very thankful for them. But he won the cross-country coach of the year back in the fall.
Yes.
Tell us about Coach Jones a little bit.
Well, I think he's still got the trophy sleeping with it. I hope he brings it to the Night of Champions here on the 20th when we're going to recognize him at the Greenwood basketball game. But Evan does such a fantastic job with those kids. He, you know, when we did the interview, he came in with a plan. I mean, detailed. We're going to do this on this day, this on this day. This is what we're going to do in the off season. This is how we're going to progress our runners to make them better. We're not going to try to jam it all in at once. And to say it, his plan has just kind of worked out flawlessly. It has. Those kids, they bought into it. They love him to death. He's continually has anywhere from 75 to 80 kids in that program. And they're hard workers. He's a hard worker. His coaches are hard workers. And, you know, when you work hard, good things happen. And that's what's happened for our boys cross country program.
That's awesome, man. All right, now, so let's do a little rapid fire. You ready? These are going to be easy. We're going to get you out of here because I know you got a lot of stuff to do. As an athletic director, you got, besides scheduling, which is a huge part of your job, right, with weather, right, weather changes for the spring that's coming up, you got, I'm blanking on what your eligibility. Yeah. The eligibility bit, it's the nightmare of spring eligibility, especially at school for you. You got so many athletes.
Yes.
All right. So, all right, the Greenville rivalry, all right, Serene Stadium or home game at Patriot Stadium, which has the best, most electric atmosphere?
Oh, I'm going to say our place.
Of course. You got to. Yeah. I expect our place. I got to expect that.
And, you know, both stadiums have their appeals. You know, the first Greenville Jail Band game that I was AD for was played over at Serene. I think we had almost 8,000-9,000 people there, and it was a great atmosphere.
Wow.
And, you know, they told me about the year before at JL Man where they had just as many, you know, people standing 6-7 deep on the sides. So, you know, I look forward to getting them back over here next fall, and hopefully we won't have a hurricane like we did in 24 wipe out our game.
Yeah, no kidding, right? That's crazy. Yeah. All right. Food related, all right? Game day fuel, all right? What is the must-have item out of the concession stand on a Friday night or on a in a concession stand in the gym, okay? And what is the best spot to go to before coming to a JL Man game? Ooh. Restaurant? What is the best restaurant we should go to if we're up there?
For me, out of our concession stand at football games, it's a Chick-fil-A sandwich. You know, about the end of the first quarter, I head over there and grab me a Chick-fil-A sandwich. If I'm on the visitor side with the band concession stand, it's going to be a Bojangles sandwich. So just get some protein in me just to get me through the next 2 or 3 hours.
That's right.
Our basketball concession stand's pizza. Yeah, get some Papa John's. I would say it depends on what you're in the mood for. If you want some good pizza, go to Frodo's, just down the street. If you move for barbecue, home team,
I'll be
down there. That would be my two go-tos.
The fried chicken wings over at home team. Oh, they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, this one might be a little bit of a head-scratcher, but it's random. I like random sometimes. If the Patriot mascot had a walk-up song, what would it be?
Ooh, it would have to depend on who's doing it. Gosh, I'd say with Hottie this year, it would have probably been The Man by Aloe Black.
All right. I'm going to have to look that one up. I'm not well-versed in music these days. All right. Next, let's do this. If you had to have one superpower to help you on a Friday night as an AD, would it be teleportation, all right, or weather control?
Weather control.
I had a feeling.
Let me turn on the AC during football season.
All right, how long have you been at JL Man now, Coach?
This is 3 years now.
3 years, okay. This might be a tougher question because you haven't been there for eternity. You've been all over the place. All right, but if you are in Ronald E. Moore Gymnasium, all right, fairly newly named, right?
Yeah, February 6th, we'll dedicate it.
If you could go back in time and watch one classic JL Man game in that gym, which one are you or your community picking?
Oh, wow. That's kind of a tough one. I've heard of some good battles with Greenville, obviously, in that gym. Also some good battles with Wade Hampton. Probably any one of those games or probably a Malden game.
Got it. All right. All right. the manuscript, all right? If you were writing the headline for the school newspaper for the end of this school year, what would it say?
Patriots continue to have a stellar athletic season.
There you
hopefully,
go.
Hopefully it'll say they added 3 to 4 more state championships in the spring.
There you go. All right. Man, I think that's out. That's everything, man. Any lasting or parting words that you would like to just highlight of your school or your students?
Yeah, let me highlight a couple of things. Lamont Wakefield, our girls basketball coach, also my assistant AD, he's approaching 400 career wins. Hopefully we'll get them before this season's over. January 23rd, we're going to induct a new class into our Hall of Fame. February 6th, we're going to formally dedicate the gym to Ronald, Coach Moore. So
awesome.
And then, of course, we look forward to spring season with soccer, lacrosse, tennis, baseball, softball, track and field.
Well, keep us up to date. You know, we're trying to cover the whole state of South Carolina with this show in every sport. And so anytime you feel like there's a story that we need to be paying attention to and highlighting, please send it our way.
But,
man, I appreciate you jumping on, my friend, and go Patriots.
Well, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Go Patriots.
Yeah, man.
Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home with your dream space to watch the games and entertain your friends and family. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team.
Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
This is Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith here with you. We have Steve Hall, as I've mentioned, in the Midlands. And we are happy to have David Shelton joining us, longtime writer for the Post and Courier. Our thanks again to Brian Mahan of JL Mann. David, welcome this morning. I wanted to, for those that don't know, you battled some health issues right around football season when I know you didn't want them. So how are you feeling these days?
I'm improving, getting better. I'm still have a few issues, but we're working through them, and it's just a lot of doctor visits and rehab stuff. So it's a little frustrating at times, but you got to do what you got to do.
Well, we're so happy. We see you standing there, and that's great. And anybody that has followed high school athletics in this state knows your name. And that's why we wanted to have you on, because you've been through this so many times, reclassification, all of these other things. We'll get to that in a second, but I wanted to ask you What you know about Goose Creek basketball, 17-1. It appears they are fantastic on the defensive side. Nobody in the state has been able to eclipse 50 points against them. They just came off a big win over Cane Bay. And just they've been fantastic in recent weeks. What can you tell us about the Gators, and how does Blake Hall have his team buying in like this? No, oh, I see David's not on the screen. Are we losing him? Okay, we'll try to reschedule David. If you could, Steve, well, I'll message him and we'll see if we can't do a little bit better with David in terms of his signal, because we wanted to ask him not only about reclassification but also about Goose Creek, who is 17-1, as I mentioned, in boys basketball. And then on the girls' side, they are the number one team in the state in 5A Division II. I don't know if we're going to be able to have David on. So we'll David, I see you back on the screen. We lost you there for a moment. Okay, I see you, David. All right, I will message David, yeah. And we will try to have him back on next week. Steve, if you'll unmute. We hated to do that, but we'll get back to all the things you mentioned to Brian Mahan, but I'll ask you the question we were going to pose to David Shelton. As you start to look at this reclassification, and now that we're talking to more coaches and ADs and getting those perspectives, because obviously we are fans of going to watch games, high school basketball, high school football, high school baseball, all those different things. What kind of stands out to you reclassification-wise, especially now that we're hearing from coaches and ADs about travel? You have rivalries, Coach Brian Mahan was just telling us he doesn't want to lose games against Greenville and Wade Hampton and such. And so when you take a look at what's happening in terms of realignment and reclassification, what jumps out at you? What rivalries do you want to keep alive? And frankly, are we doing this right? Are we doing this the right way? Do you think they're doing a good job based on the numbers, the enrollment? You know, their hands are tied in some respects, but in other respects, it's so important to keep these rivalries alive for these communities.
You know, I'm not too worried about the losing rivalries. You know, usually, I mean, this is kind of just like what we go through every 3 years. Teams are usually going to figure out those rivalries because there's such an important factor for their gates. You know, even if they do get out of the region or the classification, they're going to figure out a way to schedule them in the non-region schedule. So, Smitty, I'm not too worried about that, losing rivalries of such. It's going to get interesting, of course. We're having some more appellate committees today. Looks like, according to Ian, we're going to get started here soon today. Here, it's actually been 30 minutes, so they're already probably to Hilton Head Island's appeal. Dreer had their appeal at 9 a.m. Need to double-check on that, see how that went. Greer Middle College is also going today. South Florence and West Florence will be appealing the decision from, 5A to 4A, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Blacksburg is going to have their meeting today at 10:40. Pendleton at 11, and Brashear Middle College at 11:20. So we got some more. It's still not completely settled, but all in all, I'm not too worried about the rivalries being severely impacted.
Well, obviously, I've got those ties to the upstate. And one thing I looked at, I'm going to read the tweet here from at Greer News Sports. And by the way, we've got some comments on YouTube as well asking us about the Charleston area that we're going to get to in a minute, about Lucy Beckham and James Island. So, yeah, we appreciate you watching on YouTube. Thank you for joining us here on Four Quarter Friday. We'll try to get to all those. We also want you to tweet us at fourquarterfriday.com. But the tweet I was going to give you from at Greer News Sports, Steve, is in 5A in the upstate, and we just had Coach Brian Mahan, the athletic director at J.O. Mann, on. So this affects those of you that either have teams that play J.O. Mann or just up there in the upstate. So Greenville County, in terms of 5A, is going to look something like Malden, Eastside, J.O. Mann, Woodmont, and Hillcrest in the same region. Now, of course, you know, that doesn't mean you're going to lose certain games, because there's always non-region opportunities. And Coach Mahan already said that they're going to play Greenville on his birthday. So they know they've got that one locked in. Spartanburg County, in terms of 5A, is Dorman, Burns, Spartanburg, Boiling Springs. And now what's interesting, Steve, and you could kind of glance at the 5A after realignment and the enrollment, and you tell me what is going to be if there were going to be five team regions. So if Greenville County is all together, which makes sense, and I think Coach Mahan was just telling us that makes sense, look at Spartanburg County. What do you see? Dorman, Burns, Spartanburg, Boiling Springs. Who comes in? And at Greer News Sports was pointing out, you know, hey, is it going to have to be Fort Mill? Because, you know, that's a pretty good haul to go from, say, Burns to Fort Mill. Or is it going to be something, you know, somebody from closer to the Midlands, which is an interesting one. So what you could end up with there in the upstate, at least, is an outpost, which is always interesting. When I was, we'll go way back. There used to be some, Region 2 4A was a great football conference in the 90s. It had Gaffney, Northwestern, Rock Hill in it. But those three were kind of lumped together. And then they played those Spartanburg County schools. So you knew you were going one way or the other. It would be hard, don't you think, say, if you're Fort Mill, because the other schools have gone down to 4A, to be out there, and as I'm saying, an outpost all by yourself, which means you're traveling all the time. The other teams might play each other inside the county, but you're traveling all the time. Now, we don't know if it's going to work out that way, but it's just interesting that Greenville County has enough and Spartanburg County comes up just one short of having enough for a 5A region.
Actually, dude, you know the upstate better than I do, so your guess is as good as mine. You know,
let me see if I can pull up those enrollment figures again.
In my memory, I don't think I've ever seen a Midlands team in an upstate region.
No, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine. That doesn't seem to track from a historical standpoint. I know we had a question about. Any chance that from James Churchill, he's asking if there's any chance that James Island moves to another region in Charleston with Lucy Beckham leaving. That's a good question. You know, I'm probably better to kind of make those guesses on the Columbia, the Midlands area, to be frank. You know, we'll see what happens in the lower part of the state. It's a lot of moving parts, Smitty. It'll be interesting to see what these regions look like. At the end of the day, though, the cream will always rise to the top, you know, as far as the competition goes. Travel, though, is almost always one of the predominant factors of what makes these decisions. Outside of the enrollment.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, the question here, and thank you, James, for getting that question in on YouTube. You know, why would James Island and Lucy Beckham want to continue to be in 4A? Why would they want to put through those students through all that travel? And I don't know. you know, Luke Bajak probably tweeted about it. We could probably go back and read his tweets. Yeah. If anybody wants to dig in, if you like reality television, you just want to read a script for reality television, Lou Bajak of the state, at Lou at the state, you can find him on Twitter, and you can find so much about the reason that the schools gave for their particular appeals. Now, I think when you look at someone like James Island, which hasn't been around forever, for me, you know, we were talking to J.O. Man Athletic Director Brian Mahan, bringing up the fact that there's certain schools and rivalries you want to hold dear, and because they're important to the community. And look, let's be honest. And I always look at it from a perspective of the games that we want to see, but also you've got to worry about attendance, right? I mean, there's sometimes you're playing a school, nobody wants to miss that game, right? Like Gaffney's playing Burns, Dorman is playing Spartan High. You know, there's just games that you're flat out not going to miss. If Goose Creek is playing Somerville in football, good luck getting a ticket. So that those are games that we don't want to lose for certain reasons. And then you start bringing in enrollment. Why would Lucy Beckham and James Island want to put their students through all that travel? I don't know, but I think they're probably in different circumstances because they haven't been around forever. They don't have all of those traditional rivalries built up. So they are probably looking through a different prism than other schools may be. They may be more willing to travel for certain reasons, and they may feel like their fan base can deal with it based on, look, I mean, maybe the thought is, hey, once you start, you know, if you start going from James Island, once you get off of James Island, you know, you're stuck in traffic anyway in Charleston, which way you go. So I don't know all of the factors that go into those appeals, those particular appeals, but I just know that there are so many schools and communities that those games, and it's not just football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's lacrosse. It's keeping all of those rivalries for those communities alive. You want to make sure that you have opportunities in non-region play. But there are some of the charter schools like James Island, I'm certain. Well, James, it says James Island's been around since the 50s. I guess so, but do they have traditional rivalries? I didn't know James Island had some traditional rivalries. I don't think of them in that same mode as because they've switched classifications too. Right.
You know, they've gone up and down in classification. The 4A region down there is really interesting. You hit on that for Lucy Beckham. Like, where are they going to go? I mean, could they go up north a little bit? Could they go be playing some Myrtle Beach schools? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they're right there on 7 or near 17. And so, you know, either way, they're driving a long way. But there's a 5-team region already kind of in that Buford area. I mean, Colleton County is a little further away, but, you know, you got Colleton County, Hilton Head, Buford. You know, I'm just looking at the old list that was sent out on December 19th, so some of these might have moved. I can't – it's a lot of schools to keep track of. There's over 200 schools in South Carolina. So, you know, them going down that area, that's that, to your point, that's a ton of driving. You know, it's not easy to get from Mount Pleasant to Beaufort County.
Right. And I used to live over there. So, you know, like West Ashley area.
Yeah.
So, you know, West Ashley and James Island, even I'm going to bet that's not even an easy drive, even though as the crow flies, they're not that far from each other, just based on how you have to go through Charleston. So I wonder if those are factors in a way that it's not when you're, say, you know, you have connective tissue in the upstate when you have I-26 and 85, or if you're in the Midlands. I mean, even though you know this from living there, you have to go through Columbia traffic sometimes. You know, if it's, you've got a 7 o'clock game, then you're going through Columbia traffic and you're just going to have to deal with that. But at least on the map, you're close community wise, culturally, you understand, you know, there's history there. So I think different schools are going to have different reasons for their appeals. And we heard everything. I mean, you absolutely heard everything. Competition was a part of it. As you said, money was a part of it. Travel for the fans was absolutely a factor, but that stood out to me. That tweet from @GreerNewsSports stood out to me because, you know, it would have solved a lot of problems if, say, Gaffney would have remained in 5A. Then you would have had the Spartanburg County Schools plus Gaffney. Gaffney's always, you know, it's one town, one team. They knew that, you know, they're going to be an outpost. Gaffney is not that close to anything. You have teams in 5A up there in the Rock Hill area. Rock Hill is going to remain in 5A. Fort Mill is a 5A team. Northwestern is a 5A team. But are there enough
you know, to put together 5A. And I just ask. Sometimes I just ask, are we doing this the right way? Are we doing this the right way? Should we look at mixed regions and take travel into account? I like to take traditional rivalries. I like to take, Coach Mayhem brought this up, I like to take, I even like to take county lines into account, because I think when you're playing somebody from inside your own county, you know, it's an arbitrary line. We all know that. There's nothing special, you know, when you pass over from Berkeley to Charleston County necessarily, but there's just something about growing up in a certain county that you just always know those other schools. You just, you know, if you grow up in that county, you just know them. So to me, that's something to keep an eye on. We'll have a guest on next week. Maybe we'll reach out to Lou Bays Jack or someone like that. In the meantime, we'll get to another break. We've still got to cover the top 10 rankings for high school boys basketball. We've got girls basketball. We've got games that we want to look forward to. We want to see. We have, Steve, you have news on the Blue Devil Invitational. We talked to Kyle Kimry, wrestling coach from White Knoll. He gave us a preview to that. Now we have results to that. So we still have a lot of ground to cover. And if you have more questions or topics you want to bring up and make sure we get into this round table, hit us up on Twitter at Four Quarter Friday, or you can email the show, fourquarterfriday@gmail.com. We're covering basketball, wrestling, and more on the other side of this break. This is Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
It's the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina, with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Welcome back to the Four Quarter Friday show. Steve here, Smitty. We have to talk about some basketball now, and we're going to talk about some wrestling as well. Actually, before we get to basketball, Smitty, I texted you last night, and we talked and didn't realize that there's this a major college football for coming out of Burns High School, Trey Segarra, the running back. We've talked about him a lot on this show, and I know it's not football season, but it is wrestling season, and I happen to see that he's the number 4 ranked wrestler in the 215 weight class in 5A. How about that?
Incredible. Yeah, that's incredible. And anybody, you mentioned in the interview with Brian Mahan, JL Mann, you mentioned, you know, having buddies growing up wrestling. Anybody that's ever messed around, you know, like, you know, as guys do, you know, maybe you're playing backyard football or anything like that, or a wrestling match breaks up after one of the game breaks after one of the games in a just a fun manner. You don't mess with guys who wrestle. You just don't. They have tendon strength, and there's no question. There is absolutely no question. We talked to Kyle Kimmery about this a couple of weeks ago as well. That the wrestling coach for White Knoll. There's no question being a wrestler helps you in other sports. There's absolutely no question about that, because of the level of training, the way that you get to know your body. I couldn't have done it. I just could not have done it. You know, wrestling was something I couldn't have messed with because I saw how bad those dudes were. So I always give mad respect to those guys that do that. And I think, I'm not surprised, by the way, that Trey Segura is both an elite in the high school football rankings and then elite in the high school wrestling rankings as well. And I'm certain that one helps the other in both cases.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have great high school football players that have played in this state that were also great high school wrestlers that go on to play in the league, the NFL. Robert Quinn was a state champion wrestler at Fort Dorchester. We know how good he was at North Carolina and also in the NFL as well. There's other examples too. But yeah, you got to think, like, if you're Stan Drayton, the new running back coach for the South Carolina Gamecocks, you're recruiting Trey Segura. And you got to like how he's a wrestler as well. So he probably knows how to use his hands really well and leverage as well when you're maybe pass blocking. And so that being such a hot topic when you're talking about running backs in the pass game, when they're not going, you know, out running a route, you know, that has been a problem for the Gamecocks, is having that position block well for Lenora Sellers. So, you know, that's got to be an exciting proposition for Coach Drayton as he's recruiting that young man. Smitty, let's talk a little bit about the Blue Devil Invitational at Drury High School that happened last weekend that Kyle Kimmery was telling us about. So it was a big, big tournament. Clover ended up winning that tournament, placing first with a score of 202.5 over Maiden, North Carolina. It looks like the only North Carolina school that was down here. They placed second. And then Blythewood finished third at 150 for 159 points. Clover ended up having first place finishes Luke Hudson at the 120 weight class, a first place finish at the 144 weight class for and Xavier Gonzalez. First place for Tyrone Norris the third at 157. And then they had second place finishes at 165 and 190 with Owen Tatum and Ethan Vaught. And then a third place finish for Aiden Santiago at weight class 126. So that congratulations to the Clover Blue Eagles for winning that prestigious tournament. Had a ton of teams. It looked like 27 total teams there. We also have results from the Eagles Nest duels at Greenwood High School. Smitty, to give you a little bit of upstate wrestling results. The boys team, boys champion, was Lugolf Elgin. The demons over there won that. The Greenwood girls won a three-way tie. So good stuff from around the state for wrestling there. What do you think about us talking some basketball now, Smitty?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, we will, I see we've got some viewers on YouTube, which we really appreciate. And James is saying, you know, he's talking about the rivalries with James Island. Now for me, and look, this is my own ignorance. One of my best friend's sons went to James Island. I always thought of them, I'm older too, kind of like they were one of those schools that were moving up like 3A, 4A, 5A, growing over time and hadn't established those rivalries. But hey, James is absolutely, he's schooling me on that. So, you know, I'll I understand, because at that point I was in the upstate covering things. And Roger's on with us as well on YouTube, and we appreciate that, Roger, mentioning how Woodruff is growing fast and that Woodruff is exploding, that Woodruff Greer, anything between the corridor and Spartanburg Greenville, and says that because of having such a large class 1A, the line between 2A and 3A has shifted. So Woodruff will be 2A the next 2 years. Many others did the same. And that's true. That is one of the questions that I think we will pose. Maybe we'll have a Lou Bazejack on with us next week, or another writer that has been covering this so closely, like Ian Guerin, and just get some explanations on why 1A has gotten so big, 5A has gotten so small. No one wants to be in 5A. It's down to like under 40 teams. So that has affected how these regions will play out as well. So that is something we will tackle next week. So we appreciate you watching us on YouTube. Please, if you're a fan of high school sports, tune in every Friday. And listen, it's not just right now. You can catch us all the time. You can go back and watch the shows. They're good for a week, right? And now we'll move on, Steve, because you're right. It's basketball season. And I know we were going to talk to David Shelton. We couldn't get hooked up with him, but Goose Creek is 17-1. Burns beat Dorman and boys. There's just so much great action that we got to get to before the show is up. And we won't miss this opportunity next week. We'll focus a little bit more on basketball. But you're right. Basketball is red hot right now. Region play is in the middle of it.
Well, I mean, something that Region 2 in 5A Division 1 and the boys, you got four of the top 10 all in Region 2. I mean, talk about a brutal region, whoever's coming out of that. I mean, there you could have the third-place team in that region potentially really compete for a state championship, Smitty. This week we have Dorman at 1, Dutch Fork at 2, Ridgeview at 3, Cane Bay at 4, Burns at 5, who's, by the way, 5-0 in region play. Yep. Went 3-0 over the last 7 days, roughly. You know, it's kind of hard in basketball. Some of these teams, you know, might only play 2 games, 7 days from, you know, Tuesday, basically, is kind of how I look at it, because we got games tonight. But Burns won over Gaffney by 32. Spartanburg over Spartanburg by 4, and Dorman, they beat Dorman by 13. And, you know, check this out. Spartanburg lost to Dorman and Burns over the past week by a combined of 9 points.
Yeah, the Vikings are good. That's right. What that says, the Vikings are good. And I'll let you get back to the top 10 in just a second, but I want to throw out, are we sure, and I'm interested to see where the rankings land next week, are we sure Burns is not the best team in 5A Division 1? And they're fifth. They were fifth last week. Are we sure? Now, listen, Ridgeview's good. You know that. But they lost they lost a big one. Who was that to? Woodmont?
Westwood.
Westwood.
3 points.
Yeah, great game. Great game. You got Ridgeview. Ridgeview's loaded with talent. Dutch Fork's good, but they took a tough loss to Christchurch, you know, so we don't know. Dorman has gone head-to-head with Burns and lost. Cane Bay just lost to Goose Creek. I'm just not sure. Yeah. We'll have to get our eyes on some of these teams, but I'm just giving some love to Burns. It may be that Lane Fowler has the best Division I team, that best 5A Division I team in the state. He may vault from fifth to first in the next rankings.
Well, it is pretty insane. I mean, you got Ridgeview after that, you know, loss. They've since to go on to beat Spring Valley by 46. Lugoff Elgin by 21, and West Florence by 48.
That woke them
up. I think maybe that might have motivated Coach Staley's team a little bit to wake up a little bit. You're not saying that they were asleep, because that Westwood Ridgeview rivalry is big. You know, they're always going to be in a tough matchup. So you got Asher Ridge down there at 6. They're 15-2 on the year. West Ashley's 14-3. I'm really curious to see how these low country teams end up as we get further into region play in the playoffs. Bowling Springs is at number 9. They've lost some tough games to Eastside and Riverside, who are very good Division II teams. And Smitty, Division II's just looking just as competitive. You mentioned Goose Creek already at 17-1. it would not surprise me if they ended up the season, you know, at, you know, holding the trophy. As good as those, both of those programs are, girls and boys. Greenville's at one right now, though. They're 5-0. We got Westwood at 2, Riverside at 3, Fort Mill at 4, Goose Creek at 5. I already said that. T.L. Hanna, St. James, Irmo, Nation, Ford, and Eastside. What it was interesting, I saw Irmo kind of had an upset loss to Lexington by, you know, 13. And then they also lost to River Bluff, who has kind of struggled a little bit, but they lost to them by 2. And their lone win over the last 7 days is Newberry by 2. So Irmo might be struggling a little bit right now. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. Then in 4A, Smitty, two regions make up, let's see, 6 of the top 10 in 4A boys. Great Collegiate, North Augusta, and Brooklyn Casey all hailing from Region 4. And Crestwood, Wilson, and Darlington all hailing from Region 5. And so, you know, basically, we got some big games to talk about for tonight. And one of those games is, I believe, going to be Crestwood and Darlington. So we got a top 10 matchup in 4A coming up tonight.
Yeah, and I saw that Gray got a big win over North Augusta. So Gray looks like they have really found themselves. And I don't know, Deion Bethea's got a good club. He has for several years. I know he had that 1 year that he took off for Georgia Southern and worked as an assistant, but he's back at Gray Collegiate picking up right where he left off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't mind, let me show you, just bring up the boys' games of the week, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We're going to bring this up here, and then we'll shift to the girls and any other games that you want to highlight as well. But here we got some of the games going on tonight. North Augusta, Brooklyn Casey, a big region matchup. Both of those teams are really good. Loras and Georgetown, a really interesting game. Dorman and Eastside, you know, I expect in these rankings, you can kind of ignore these. These are coming from Max Preps, and I don't exactly know how they do that. I have a hard time believing Dorman's the number 19 team in the state. Bowling Springs and Burns will be a really good one, too. Top 10 matchup, two top 10 Division I teams. Camden and Lancaster, that's an interesting game.
Yeah.
Lancaster, let's see, just beat number 9 South Point by 1 point. And Camden just lost to South Point in overtime last Friday. So that'll be an interesting game for the region.
Yeah.
We have the Darlington and Crestwood also.
No, I agree with your setup here. These are games I'd love to see. Loras has a big-time football influence. They've got a great run of athletes going at Loras right now, including the twins that started both in football and now starting in basketball on the road, it looks like, at Georgetown. So that's one to keep an eye on. We'll see if Dorman can, you know, right the ship. Eastside's no pushover. You know, and I know Thomas Ryan invites that, the head coach for Dorman. He loves to play tough competition. Well, he's got it this year. He's got it all over that region. I don't know what Bowling Springs has. I haven't seen their players, but man, Burns is rolling. They really caught my attention beating Dorman by double digits. The fact that they've done that. So I'm going to circle that Burns Boiling Springs game. I want to follow Burns. Sometimes we don't know within the different parts of the state, right? Sometimes the Midlands is at the best and at the top, and sometimes it's the upstate or the lower part of the state. We don't always know, but just based on resume, I really have my eyes on Burns right now. Coach Fowler has and his son Colt leading the way. They have really opened my eyes with what they've done over the last 2 weeks.
And if I were to pick a game to go to tonight, it, just to be different than you, Smitty, you know, because if we had the ability to both be in two different locations,
yeah, where are you going?
I'd probably go to the Darlington Crestwood game. You know, that's really interesting to me. And Darlington's really good in basketball. The girls' team's really good as well. Crestwood, you know, the home of Ja Morant, right? And so I think I might pick that one just to see a different matchup. North Augusta and Brooklyn Casey are awfully interesting as well. But I think I'd have to pick the Darlington-Crestwood matchup tonight. For me, so I'm going to a different place. Smitty, we have 5 minutes left in the show, so let's switch to why don't we bring up the girls' games of the week and kind of start talking about a little bit of the girls' rankings here. Kind of highlighted these as kind of the top five matchups tonight for girls' basketball. Anything that jumps off the page to you?
Well, Dorman girls just got a big win over Burns. So they're, you know, obviously just like the boys, they're traveling to Eastside, which is not easy. And I know Berkeley's really good in girls as well. And, Berkeley Wando, that's kind of a, you know, you're going to get great emotion in the gym tonight, Berkeley against Wando. That's a big one. And then right there in your backyard, Lexington and Dutch Fork. I don't know what Dutch Fork has done this year. I'll have to look where that. Okay, so they're ranked eighth in the 5A Division I girls. Dutch Fork is ranked eighth, and Lexington is ranked ninth. So a lot on the line. And you talk about emotion in the gym. They're gonna get after it tonight. Lexington at Dutch Fork. What's that travel like when you go Lexington to Dutch Fork? That's not far, right?
No, I mean, you got to deal with Irmo traffic, which is always fun. But, you know, 30 minutes probably.
Get there early.
Over the dam.
I love that matchup, though. I just think Lexington at Dutch Fork tonight, if I could transport myself somewhere, that's the gym I'd want to be in tonight for that girls' matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Daniel in Blue Ridge looks really interesting as well. Smitty and then Wando and Berkeley. Gosh, you know, the fighting Jamie Bradford's, you know, girls basketball down there having a good season. Only two losses on the year.
Incredible. All right, just a couple of minutes left before what we get. We're going to get you. We want you to check out everything here on the Chief Sports Network. If you don't have the app, download the app to your phone. You can also check everything out that we do and everybody does. Jamie Bradford's coming up next with Inside the Gamecocks, the morning show. It's going to be on YouTube at Chief Sports South Carolina. But again, you can always get everything on the app. JC Sherbert, Coffee with JC. And then you also get J.C. Sherbert coming up with Phil Molnix in the afternoon. You can follow them on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Four Quarter Friday. We're going to get you covered. We're building a bigger network. And what we are doing, our arm here, Steve and I, we are trying to focus on what is happening inside this state. And I'm fascinated. Next week, of course, we're going to keep tracking what's happening in wrestling and girls and boys basketball. We'll recap all of these big games. But then we also have realignment news that's going to start to leak out. We'll try to get a writer that is on the inside with that. We already talked about 5A a great deal. Just let me throw this at you. There's a chance. The way 4A looks right now, you could have some Greenville County teams and Gaffney in the same region in 4A, and that would be travel. You also might end up with 4A teams in Greenville, because there will be so many split up. Will Greenwood and Greenville remain in the same region as they were in Region 1-5A together? Will they remain in the same region? Not an easy travel there to get down to Greenwood, but Greenwood may be an outpost in 4A. So a lot to take into account. We'll absolutely cover that next week, as long as keep you up to date. Final word here in the final minute from you, Steve.
Well, let's just see how these results go tonight. It'll be very interesting as things continue to shape up for region play, and we're getting closer and closer to playoffs, Smitty.
Absolutely. There's going to be some good region teams. They're going to take league losses tonight. There are going to be top 10, top 5 quality state title contending teams that will take losses tonight. That's how stiff the competition is, especially as what you pointed out, Steve, in a couple of those regions. That's it for us. On the network, Jamie Bradford and Inside the Gamecocks are next. For Steve Hall, I'm Matt Smith. This has been Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD, we've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us, all of South Carolina. We love talking ball, and we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning into the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.